grand theme of the gospel. It even includes the church, the body of Christ to which we belong. The gospel is worldwide. It's global in its scope and in its purpose. But it is also very personal and very practical. And that's what we've been talking about these last few weeks as we've looked at some practical aspects of the gospel. Because even though the gospel is global, it's given for the whole world, it is received by individuals. It's received by people. People from all walks of life. People from different backgrounds, different levels of society, different economic backgrounds. None of that matters. The gospel is for everyone. And it is received by individuals. And so when a person comes to know Jesus Christ and receives the gospel and obeys the gospel, they begin that journey, don't they? They begin that process, that transformation. And the life that they once lived, they leave that behind. And now they have this new life. And it's a different life. It's a different kind of life. They're not who they used to be. And that's what Paul has been talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4. This new life. And so as we bring this series to a close this morning, we learn from Paul's words. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Keep reading. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And again, he uses this expression, put away from you. As we heard him say earlier on in this section, to put off the old self and put on the new self. And that's the language of transformation. It's like you're changing garments. You're taking off one set of garments and you're clothing yourself with a new set of garments. And that's what's going on here. That old self, that old manner of life is to be put away, put off, eliminated, discarded. Amen. And then put on the new. The new life, the new things that are to be encouraged and nurtured. And if you look at our text this morning there, Ephesians 4, beginning verse 31, you look at, there are several words there, several phrases, and we could spend hours in this text. There's so much there. You look at the words, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. And he talks about being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving as we have been forgiving. He talks about being imitators of God, walking in love. He mentions the sacrifice of Jesus being a fragrant offering and sacrifice before God. He brings up sexual immorality and impurity and covetousness and how those things should not even be named among God's people. I mean, there is so much there we could unpack. But we only have a few minutes this morning. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to capture all of these things under the umbrella of kindness. Because I see that as sort of a hinge point in this section. Because kindness is really the cure for, or the motivation for, these things. Amen. Be kind to one another. You know, we can mention these initial words very quickly. Bitterness. It's actually a word that Paul uses that typically is used to describe a plant that yields fruit that is inedible or poisonous. And so a bitter person is a poisonous person. It's describing a person of a hostile attitude, a person filled with resentment, animosity. Wrath is used to describe the hot temper, the boiling up of anger, passionate outburst. And then there's anger itself, indignation, the upsurge of one's nature against someone else. Clamor describes the sound of several loud voices all crying out at the same time. Think CNN or Fox News. Slander, abusive speech against someone, speaking evil of someone. Malice describes moral depravity, hatefulness towards someone. You put all of that together, and what do you have? Sounds like a riot to me. And we've had enough of those lately. Paul is describing here is the pre-Jesus life. This is the life before coming to Christ. This is really the life of the world. This is a life which has not been touched by the kindness of God. And that's what Paul is encouraging here. Because we hear all of this today, don't we? From our world. Our world is an angry world. It is a hostile world. And kindness today is, could almost be viewed as a bright beacon, a spotlight in a very dark world. Our world is full of wrath. Slander has become the accepted political strategy, and it's all motivated by malice. Our world needs the gospel, does it not?
Amen.
You know what else it needs? It needs Christians who have put all of this away. It needs Christians who have stopped thinking that way. Who have stopped acting that way. Who've put that kind of life behind them. Because the Christian is who? The Christian is someone who has been touched by the kindness of God. They've recognized His kindness. We heard His kindness. We heard about the demonstration of His kindness. We came to understand that His kindness was directed towards us. To the world, yes, but to me as an individual. Amen. As one man. And He did that for you. And we responded to that. And so Paul's encouragement here, be kind to one another. You know, there have been a lot of distressing things connected with this coronavirus situation. But one of the things that's been distressing about it is the way some people have treated each other. And even more distressing is the way some Christians have treated other Christians. They've not been kind. And so Paul's words here this morning, we need to hear. Be kind to one another. And he goes on in this text and he kind of elaborates on what he means here about being kind. He adds the word tender-hearted. I want you to be kind. I want you to be tender-hearted. And that should come as no surprise as he talks about the condition of the heart, right? That's how he started this whole section, talking about the heart. What was it about the heart? Their heart was darkened. Their heart was hard. A hardened heart does not care. It has no compassion. The hardened heart does not feel anything. It's not easily touched. A number of years ago, we were taking a road trip with another family. And at one point, I look back and I see one of the other family's children, a daughter, teenage daughter, and she's quietly crying. And I looked at her mom and I said, "What's wrong?" And she smiled and she said, "It's the song she's listening to. Tender heart. Easily touched." You know, frequently we hear the advice today, you've got to have a tough skin. I know what they're saying, but I wonder really how helpful that advice is today. Because I see that more as more of the problem than the solution today. So many people have become so tough they can't feel anything. And we need some tender hearts. We need to be able to feel again. Now, Jesus was a man's man, but he was also a compassionate man. He could feel the pain of others. And as he saw it, he didn't turn away from it or disregard it. He embraced it as his own. That's right. Because he was tender-hearted. He was compassionate. Christians are those who follow Jesus. And so Paul is encouraging us here to imitate the one we follow. Become like him. God the Almighty, the all-knowing, the ever-present one, is tender-hearted. He is compassionate. He is forgiving. And we are called to be the same.
That's right. Amen.
And how do you describe someone like that? How do you describe the person who has a tender heart, who is compassionate, who is forgiving? Paul describes him as walking in love.
Amen.
That's what he says there. Jesus is walking in love because that's just what characterized Jesus. That's what drove him. That's what directed him every day that he lived. He walked in love. His focus was so outward, so open, so available for others, such that he was willing to give himself up totally as a sacrifice for you and me. And so all those other things that that used to characterize us, the immorality, the impurity, the covetousness, all that's gone now. Because that's been put away. That's been taken off. It doesn't characterize us anymore because we are a different person now since coming to Christ. We are a kind people. And kindness can be surprising in its power, in its effectiveness. Some years ago, there was a couple of men who were sharing a room in a hospital, one of those two-bed rooms, you know. Both seriously ill. There was no television in the room, and so the only distraction they had really from their illnesses was the brief conversations they would share occasionally. One of the men, a Mr. Williams, was closest to the window. And occasionally he was allowed to sit up in bed and he would gaze out the window and he would describe to the other patient what he was seeing. And he said, "It's fortunate because on our side of the hospital there's a small park out there." And he would describe the activities going on in the park. And there was a small pond towards the center of the park, and there were some ducks swimming on the surface. And Mr. Williams chuckled as he saw some children who had gathered, and they'd brought pieces of bread, and they were throwing bread out to the ducks. And the ducks were scurrying around trying to get the pieces of bread. Every now and then there would be a small boy come out with his dad and they'd play catch or throw the frisbee around to each other. And of course there were always couples walking through the park, and Mr. Williams noted that sometimes they were arm in arm or holding hands. Occasionally they would sit on the benches and exchange a kiss. And one night Mr. Williams suddenly passed away. After a few days, the other man asked one of the nurses if he could be moved close to the window so he could look out, because it had always been so inspiring to him and encouraging to him to hear what was going on out there. And when they moved him over, he was surprised to see there was no park. It was just a barren rooftop. Kindness can be surprising in its power, in its effectiveness. As you go out this week, out there, you might try a little kindness. And perhaps it will have the surprising effect on someone, such that they will want to be where you are, closer to the window of light and love in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Try a little kindness this week. Our God is so kind. He's made a way for you. If you are not yet a child of God, you can be this morning. You can leave here one of His children. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe that God raised Him up from the dead, and you're willing to be baptized into Christ, to be buried with Jesus, God will raise you up a new creature.
That's right.
Cleansed from your sins. And welcome you to His family. Would you do that this morning? Or if we can pray with you and for you as a child of God, please give us that privilege. Please come now as we stand and sing.